We're going to have four readers this morning who are on shift, as it were. And I'm going to ask Susanna and David, who I think are readers A and B, to just come and join me on the platform. If I say to David Younger, from this point on, when we've sung a song, put the laptop on straight afterwards. And if you'd like to put it on now, that would be good. Do please sit down for a moment. To each of our readings this morning and our devotions, there will be one of these pictures by Jenny Hawke. Look at them carefully. They've each got something very deep and very important to say. Here we see the figure of Jesus kneeling at an olive tree in Gethsemane. So we hear that moment in his life when he truly feared for what the future was bringing.
Jesus experiences fear. Jesus went with his disciples to the olive grove called Gethsemane, and he said, "Sit here while I go over there to pray." He took Peter and Zebedee's two sons, James and John, and he became anguished and distressed. He told them, "My soul is crushed with grief to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." He went on a little further and bowed with his face to the ground, praying, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup of suffering be taken away from me. Yet, I want your will to be done, not mine." Then he returned to the disciples and found them asleep. He said to Peter, "Couldn't you watch with me even 1 hour? Keep watch and pray, so that you will not give in to temptation. For the spirit is willing, but the body is weak."
Jesus experiences betrayal by a friend. Judas, one of the 12 disciples, arrived with a crowd of men armed with swords and clubs. They had been sent by the leading priests, the teachers of religious law, and the elders. The traitor, Judas, had given them a prearranged signal. "You will know which one to arrest when I greet him with a kiss. Then you can take him away under guard." As soon as they arrived, Jesus walked up to Jesus. "Rabbi," he exclaimed, and gave him the kiss. Then the others grabbed Jesus and arrested him.
Jesus experiences unjust judgment. At daybreak, all the elders of the people assembled, including the leading priests and teachers of religious law. Jesus was led before the high council, and they said, "Tell us, are you the Messiah?" But he replied, "If I tell you, you won't believe me. And if I ask you a question, you won't answer. But from now on, the Son of Man will be seated in the place of power at God's right hand." They all shouted, "So are you claiming to be the Son of God?" And he replied, "You say that I am." "Why do we need other witnesses?" they said. We ourselves heard him say it.
Jesus experiences denial by a friend. Meanwhile, Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard. A servant girl came over and said to him, "You are one of those with Jesus the Galilean." But Peter denied it in front of everyone. "I don't know what you're talking about," he said. Later, out by the gate, another servant girl noticed him and said to those standing around, "This man was with Jesus of Nazareth." Again, Peter denied it, this time with an oath. "I don't even know the man," he said. A little later, some of the other bystanders came over to Peter and said, "You must be one of them. We can tell by your Galilean accent." Peter swore, "A curse on me if I'm lying. I don't know the man." And immediately the rooster crowed. Suddenly Jesus' words flashed through Peter's mind. "Before the rooster crows, you will deny three times that you even know me." And he went away, weeping bitterly.
Judged and sentenced. Jesus is powerless before the Roman governor. Very early in the morning, the leading priests, the elders, and the teachers of religious law, the entire higher council, met to discuss their next step. They bound Jesus, led him away, and took him to Pilate, the Roman governor. Pilate asked Jesus, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus replied, "You have said it." Then the leading priest kept accusing him of many crimes, and Pilate asked him, "Aren't you going to answer to any of them? What about all these charges they're bringing against you?" But Jesus said nothing, much to Pilate's surprise. So to pacify the crowd, Pilate released Barabbas to them, then turned Jesus over to the Roman soldiers to be crucified.
His accusers brought many false charges against Jesus, but he spoke not a word in his own defense. "Crucify him," they shouted. Pilate washed his hands to show the decision was not his own, but he did not dare to side publicly with Jesus. Instead, he was willing to pacify the people, condemning him to death. Let us pray. Lord, when you were misunderstood, you silently forgave. But we so often respond in anger. Lord, have mercy. Lord, you gave us opportunity to choose Jesus. But for so long we have chosen the rebellion that demanded your death. And some still do. Lord, have mercy.
Jesus is tortured by flogging. Then Pilate had Jesus flogged with a lead-tipped whip. The soldiers wove a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put a purple robe on him. "Hail, King of the Jews," they mocked, as they slapped him across the face.
Scourged. The whips cut his back until it was shredded and bathed in blood. A crown of thorns was set on his head in mockery. Then they returned his robe to him and brought him to the cross on which he was to die. Jesus embraced the cross, resting it painfully on the smarting wounds of his back. Lord, you were scourged and wounded. You deserved no punishment, but were punished in our place, for what is beyond our imagining. Thank you, Jesus. When you were already in agony, you embraced the cross. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Jesus carries our burden, the cross. When they saw him, the leading priests and temple guards began shouting, "Crucify him! Crucify him! Take him yourselves and crucify him," Pilate said. "I find him not guilty." "Away with him," they yelled. "Away with him! Crucify him!" "What? Crucify your king?" Pilate said. "We have no king but Caesar," the leading priest shouted back. Then Pilate turned Jesus over to them to be crucified. So they took Jesus away. Carrying the cross by himself, he went to the place called Place of the Skull, in Hebrew, Golgotha.
Jesus had willingly embraced the cross, but his physical body was weak from lack of sleep, from the pressures of arrest and trial, from the torture and the beating, and the crowning with thorns. Let us pray. Lord, you embraced and shouldered your cross, but your body was weak. Your body still is weak. Your people shrink from the weight of suffering. In our weakness, Lord, let us pray, your will be done. Jesus, you were first a carpenter. Build us into what you desire, and secure every joint tightly, that we may hold together. Plane the rough surfaces of our relationships. We are your workmanship. Your will be done. Jesus, you said yes to the Father's will, and only your body hesitated. May we, your body, no longer hesitate, but follow you in your obedience, saying, "Your will be done." My spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Jesus said yes, but his body hesitated.
And he fell to his knees again and again, determining to rise even in his weakness, saying to himself, "For the sake of my children, my loved ones, my bride, my people, I must go on. I will not, I must not give up now. The way of sorrows, the way of pain, the way of self-renunciation, the way of my cross." So though he kept on falling to the ground under the crushing weight of the cross, he determined he would not be defeated. Lord, often I fall, and the temptation is not to rise again and continue with you. When I fall and others watch and laugh, or say, "I told you so, you'll never make it, give me the strength to fulfill my promise," Lord, I will go on with you. How long the road you came for us, Lord, with your smarting burden. O Lord, your love has no limits. You picked up the weight of your cross, the weight of our sins. We are your burden, an overwhelming burden, but that burden is sweet to you because of the love you also bear to us, an overwhelming love. Your love has no limits. Your love has no limits. Lord, I know you can forgive me. Your love has no limits.
Jesus receives mercy. A passerby named Simon, who was from Cyrene, was coming in from the countryside just then, and the soldiers forced him to carry Jesus' cross. Simon was the father of Alexander and Rufus.
We stand and sing "How Deep the Father's Love for Us."
Still others matter more. The tears of the women. A large crowd trailed behind him, including many grief-stricken women. But Jesus turned and said to them, "Daughters of Jerusalem, don't weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For the days are coming when they will say, 'Fortunate indeed are the women who are childless, the wombs that have not borne a child and the breasts that have never nursed.' People will beg the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and plead with the hills, 'Bury us.' For if these things are done when the tree is green, what will happen when it is dry?"
The forgiveness offered to the guilty. The journey was at an end. Jesus was quickly thrown backward with his shoulders against the wood. The soldier felt for the depression at the front of the wrist. He drove a heavy, square, wrought iron nail through the wrist and deep into the wood. Quickly, he moved to the other side and repeated the action, being careful not to pull the arms too tightly. The title, "Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews," was nailed into place. and the crossbar lifted into position. The left foot was pressed backward against the right foot, with both feet extended, toes down, a nail was driven through the arch of each, leaving the knees moderately flexed. Then the cross was raised and dropped into the hole prepared to support it. Jesus was crucified. As Jesus slowly sagged down with more weight on the nails in the wrists, excruciating fiery pain shot along the fingers and up the arms to explode in the brain. As he pushed himself upward to avoid this stretching torment, he placed his full weight on the nail through his feet. Again, there was searing agony as the nail tore through the nerves. As the arms tired, great waves of cramps swept over the muscles, knotting them in deep, relentless, throbbing pain. Jesus fought to raise himself in order to get even one short breath with which to speak to his tormentors. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.
Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. Jesus, our sin put the nails in your hands. It was love that held you there. It was love that held you there. Jesus, our sin put the nails in your feet. It was love that held you there. It was love that held you there. The soldiers hoisted your cross on high. You were their prisoner. But no one took your life away from you. You gave it willingly, freely. It was your love that held you there. It was your love that held you there. You were lifted high upon that cross, even as you had prophesied when you promised, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to me. It was love that held you there.
There's hope for us all. One of the criminals hanging beside him scoffed, "So you're the Messiah, are you? Prove it by saving yourself and us too while you're at it." But the other criminal protested, "Don't you fear God even when you've been sentenced to die? We deserve to die for our crimes, but this man hasn't done anything wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus replied, "I assure you, today you will be with me in paradise."
He makes a family of Mary and John. Standing near the cross was Jesus' mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother standing there beside the disciple he loved, he said to her, "Dear woman, here is your son." And he said to this disciple, "Here is your mother." And from then on, this disciple took her into his home.
From the place of utter anguish and excruciating pain, Jesus still thinks of others, works for others, cares for others. Intercedes for others. I'm going to put up a few pictures now which pick up some of the themes of recent days. And invite you to just engage in silent prayer. It may be for something else completely, or it may be that the pictures, which without words, just prompt you to prayer for those situations.
The death of all deaths. Jesus could now feel the chill of death creeping through his tissues. And with a loud voice he cried, "It is finished!" His mission of atonement had been completed. Finally, he could allow his body to die. With one last surge of strength, he once again pressed his torn feet against the nail, straightened his legs, took a deep breath, and uttered his final cry, "Father, I entrust my spirit into your hands." A while later, the soldier pierced a long spear into the side of the dead man to his heart. The watery fluid and blood that flowed out showed that he had died not of the expected suffocation, but literally he had died of a broken heart.
Father God, you waited through the long hours of agony when he was robbed even of the sense of your love, your presence, when the sin and disease and hatred and darkness overwhelmed him so greatly. He was wounded for my transgressions. He was wounded for my transgressions. Father, what love is this of his? What love is this of yours that his dying love reflects? Your forgiveness for me as we gaze upon his sacrificial death is as truly an undeserved gift as the pardon he spoke to the dying thief. It is mine if I will only receive. He was wounded for my transgression. See from his head, his hands, his feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. Did e'er such love and sorrow meet, or thorns compose so rich a crown? It was for me. Forbid it, Lord, that I should boast, save in the death of Christ my God. All the vain things that charm me most, I sacrifice them to his blood. It was for me. We have heard the story. There is one little bit left, which we will hear after the song we're going to sing next. But it needs no explanation. It needs no preacher to pull out the salient facts. For the truth is in the story. The message is in the story. Story God's people must never forget and keep on retelling, generation to generation, Lord's Supper to Lord's Supper. Let's sing together, "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross."
Epilogue, tomorrow. As evening approached, Joseph, a rich man from Arimathea, who had become a follower of Jesus, went to Pilate and asked for Jesus' body. And Pilate issued an order to release it to him. Joseph took the body and wrapped it in a long sheet of clean linen cloth. He placed it in his own new tomb, which had been carved out of the rock. Then he rolled a great stone across the entrance and left.
The end is not yet. Weeping endures for a night, but joy comes in the morning. The good news, "He is risen," will burst upon the sunrise. Therefore, with joy shall we draw water out of the wells of salvation. When all is dark and hope is buried, it is hard to trust his words that promised before the pain, "He died that I might live. He died that I might live. In his death is my birth. He died that I might live. He died that I might live. In his life is my life. He died that I might live.
He died that I might live.
My Jesus, he died that I might live. He died that I might live." As you leave this morning, we'd love you to take one of these, sort of one per household, if you understand what I mean. But there are sufficient if you feel that you could give one of these to somebody else. This booklet contains all the pictures and the readings that we have heard this morning. And so you can revisit what we have thought about during this time. The service is ended. Go in peace to wait for the promise of a new day. In the name of the protecting Father, the conquering Son, and the liberating Spirit, Amen.